Water along the rising Mississippi, farms are flooded too. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown, live in Vicksburg.
Dave, standing on the Vicksburg Bluff, you can look down and see where the river should reach land but spills over onto it. Along the city's riverfront, casino resorts are closed. Workers are told to stay home, many of them trying to build last-minute private levees to keep water from rushing into the building. Farmers all along the Mississippi Delta have dirt levees already, but dirt could erode, so they've been covering them with plastic, Dave.
They've been shuttle astronauts back at Kennedy Space Center to prep for Monday's next launch attempt for Endeavour. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
To live fully, you need to be able to manage your pain. At ShopRite, we can help you do just that. Here, you'll find the right relief with smart solutions like Advil, Thermacare, and Advil PM. Count on us to deliver the relief that works best for you, so you can live your life and enjoy your plans. Why shop anywhere else for your pain management and health and beauty needs? Shop at ShopRite, where we have over 10,000 health and beauty care items. Look right. Feel right at ShopRite. Use these products as directed.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 800-98-STEEL. 800-98-STEEL. That's 800-987-8335.
Are falling, adding to yesterday's sell-off on Wall Street. Fox Business Network's Lauren Simonetti has the numbers and news on the economy live.
Dave, fewer people headed to the unemployment office last week, reversing the previous week's sharp rise. 434,000 people applied for benefits, down 44,000 from the week before, but that is still too high a number for sustainable job growth. Retail sales climbed 0.5% in April, but much of that is tied to the higher prices at the gas pump and grocery store sales, but that's due to higher food prices. Stocks are under pressure, partly because of earnings concerns at tech giant and Dow component Cisco. The Dow is down 85 points. Dave.
Lauren, oil prices also down again today, under $97 a barrel. Fewer homeowners got foreclosure notices in the mail last month.
We're looking at a 40-month low in foreclosure activity in the month of April.
Down 9% from March, 34% from last April in 2010. But RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga says it's not a real sign of progress. The process is just slowing. Nearly 4 million homeowners have missed at least 3 months of payments. Facebook has some new friends. Law enforcement in Texas.
Busted would make a good status update for 4 people indicted in Houston Wednesday on bank robbery and embezzlement charges. Federal prosecutors say the suspects bragged about the crime on Facebook. 2 former tellers allegedly recruited 2 people to stage the heist in March, netting more than $62,000. An anonymous tip led investigators to the social networking site where one of the defendants wrote, "I'm rich." Another post stated, "Wiping my teeth with hundreds." Steve Rappaport, Fox News Radio.
The Boston Celtics flame out in the NBA playoffs, burned by the Heat. LeBron James broke an 87-87 tie, scoring the last 10 points in Game 5.
It was just very emotional at that point, you know, and you know, happy that we got through it.
Miami moves on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Out West, the Thunder up 3-2 on the Grizzlies. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD3, New Rochelle. A special message from Whitney Radio. The Broadcasters Foundation of America and Fordham University Press are making available a limited quantity of signed first edition copies of William O'Shaughnessy's brand new book, Vox Populi, The O'Shaughnessy Files. Only just now arriving in bookstores coast to coast for $35. Copies of the new Bill O'Shaughnessy book have arrived at WVOX and WVIP in Westchester. For every $35 donation to the Broadcasters Foundation of America, you'll receive a signed, personally inscribed first edition copy of Vox Populi, The O'Shaughnessy Files. Character profiles and heartwarming vignettes of legendary Westchester and New York figures. Jack Newfield, Bob Grant, Ossie Davis, Wellington Mara, Robert Merrill, John Spicer, Larry King, Ned Garrity, Dr. Rich Pisano, Mario Cuomo, Harry Belafonte, and beloved townies like Bill Scolin and John Branca. A dazzling and entertaining tour of Westchester and New York, past and present. You can now pick up signed copies of the brand new Bill O'Shaughnessy Westchester History Book here at our studios in New Rochelle. It makes a great gift for anyone who loves colorful characters and enjoys politics in New York and Westchester. A limited time offer for
just $35 to the Broadcasters Foundation of America. Signed copies are available now at WVOX and WVIP. One Broadcast Forum, New Rochelle. Call 914-636-1460 for directions. 636-1460. 636-1460.
Here's the updated weather forecast for your Thursday, the 12th day of May, and we're looking at pretty good weather. A little bit of patchy cloud cover from time to time, but otherwise, mostly sunny. Highs will range into the lower 70s on a light east breeze. I'll keep temperatures just a little bit cooler right next to the sound. For tonight, partly cloudy for the evening, clearing up overnight. Nighttime lows in the lower 50s. Friday's weather is looking mostly sunny. Highs for the day near 70. There's a chance of some rain or showers on Friday night. Nighttime lows in the lower 50s. In our extended forecast, Saturday looks like areas of fog and showers throughout the daytime. Drizzle, too. Highs in the mid-60s. Sunday's weather calls for clouds, a 50% probability of rain. Temperatures in the mid-50s on Sunday, it'll be cooler. The chance of rain continues on Monday and Tuesday of next week, each day with their highs near 60. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
Could be trendy and charge you to listen, but we'd rather keep things fair and simple.
Easy to work. Up antenna. Switch on.
We're proud to be free radio. WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD3.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, May 12th, 2011, the 54th day of spring. How time flies. We have gained 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 32 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 5:41 this morning. That's right. If you woke up at 6, it was already up. It will set at 7:03 this morning. That's right. If you go to bed at 7, it will still be up. We will have 13 hours and 50 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 2:38 this afternoon. It will set at 2:24 tomorrow morning. We are 2 days past first quarter. The next full moon is on May 17th. Next high tides in New Rochelle at 7:08 this evening, in Yonkers 5:37, Dobbs Ferry 6:05, and in Peekskill at 7 p.m. And it is getting into boating season, so the high tides will perhaps begin to have even more relevance to you. Of course, they always have relevance because nature is always doing it, and you need to think about that. Our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war, may they live on in all of our hearts. Corporal Kevin Wilson White, age 22, of Westfield, New York. He was with the 25th Infantry Division. He was killed in combat when attacked by a roadside bomb in Kunar Province, Afghanistan, on May 2nd. Specialist Riley Sheridan Spaulding, age 21, of Sheridan, Texas. He was with the 2nd Stryker Cavalry Regiment. He was actually died of a non-combat-related injury in Kandahar Province on May 4th. And another soldier, Sergeant Ken K. Hermogino, age 30, of the 4th Infantry Division, also died of non-combat injuries. He was in a vehicle accident in Herat province on May 9th. Lance Corporal, Marine Lance Corporal Ronald Douglas Freeman, age 25, of Plant City, Florida. He was with the 2nd Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand province, Afghanistan, on April 28th. Specialist Preston John Dennis, 23, of Redding, California, with the 10th Mountain Division. He was killed when enemy forces attacked his unit with a roadside bomb in Kandahar province, Afghanistan, on April 28th. Staff Sergeant Matthew Daniel Hermanson of Appleton, Wisconsin, he was with the 10th Mountain Division, died of wounds sustained when the enemy attacked his unit with small arms fire in Wardak province, Afghanistan, on April 28th. These 6 American servicemen were alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. In fact, the April 28th, I see 3 names of people who were killed right on that day. So while we were on the air or sometime thereafter, men could be dying right now. Men and women could be dying right now. It is for you to think of them and to remember them. Keep them in your hearts. Do not forget these sacrifices. In addition to those soldiers who were have been killed on or since our last broadcast, the day before, on April 27th, at Kabul International Airport, an Afghani Air Force officer somehow got a bug up his butt, opened fire, killed 8 American airmen. He just mowed them down. Their names were Tech Sergeant Tara Renice Brown, age 33, of Deltona, Florida. These are all Air Force personnel. Captain Charles Anthony Ransom, age 31, of Midlothian, Virginia. Major Philip Dave Ambard, age 44, of Edmonds, Washington. He was a professor with the United States Air Force Academy. Training officers. Captain Nathan J. Nylander, age 35, of Hockley, Texas. Major Raymond Gray Estelle II, age 40, from New Haven, Connecticut. Major Jeffrey O'Neill Osborne, 41, of Gadsden, Alabama. Major David Lawrence Brodeur, age 34, of Auburn, Massachusetts. And Lieutenant Colonel Frank Deal Bryant, Jr., age 37, of Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, you see, 7 of these people were officers, probably most of them pilots, but in any case, all officers. The 8th Tech Sergeant Tara Renice Brown is a woman, and she was killed in that same attack. To lose 7 officers at once is a great blow, and Lieutenant Colonel Bryant was just 37 years of age, which is quite young for someone of that rank. I'm guessing he was probably a great credit to our armed forces to have achieved such rank so soon. Thousands of American servicemen and women and our allies are at risk of their lives at this very moment, and many of their families are worried about them. Many will be killed. Your part is to keep them in your minds and hearts and to not take your privilege of living in the United States for granted. These deaths protect that privilege, your liberty, and lifestyle. Please do not forget them. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Okay, time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. I saw 2 plays this last week. One was The People in the Picture. I didn't write an official review. I'll just give you my impressions. It was pretty well done. The music was fantastic. The musical director was brilliant. The combo was great. Whoever wrote those charts is a magnificent musician. And the play kind of holds together. It's about a Jewish family, and the young girl is being brought back to the Holocaust when the people in the picture come out and share their lives. The concept is not new, and it was enjoyable enough to sit through, but unless you're really Jewish and you're really interested in that period of history, I don't know that I would go to see that. It's, as I say, once you're there, it's interesting. The music keeps you going. I focused on the actual orchestra because the story after a while. Anne Frank told it once, and you can't improve on that very well. So that was that play. That was the people in the picture. And then just the other night, two nights ago, I saw Wonderland at the Marquee Theater. And this is very loosely based on Alice in Wonderland. It actually, it just uses the characters, and it does it in fanciful ways that Lewis Carroll never imagined. You have the caterpillar, the white rabbit, and the Cheshire Cat, but they're really reinvented to where Lewis Carroll would just scratch his head and say, "Did I write that?" Well, the fact is, he did not. This play, in fact, has more in common with The Wizard of Oz in that the caterpillar, the Cheshire Cat, and the white rabbit undertake to reunite Alice with her daughter, Chloe, and help her get out of Wonderland. Now, this was very reminiscent of Charlie Small's 1974 musical, The Wiz, which adhered actually more closely to The Wizard of Oz than Wonderland does to the Alice tale, but both take major liberties with the originals. The sets, costumes, and lighting are great in this. The performances are solid, and my favorite character was Hispanic El Gato. He's no longer a Cheshire Cat. Now he's apparently a Puerto Rican cat. He was played by Jose Liana, and I thought he really camped it up quite well. Unfortunately, though, the show is going to close on Sunday after a very short run. It was open for just about a month in previews and then another month since opening night. But if you do like Broadway musicals, then you really shouldn't miss Wonderland. You have a few more days to get there. It is great fun. I expect it will have a post-Broadway life, and perhaps it could even come back if they tighten it up a bit. They will need to do some work on it. There is enough of a storyline to string the songs together, but there are some dry patches, and as long as you're enjoying it, you can sit and say, okay, well, dry patch here, dry patch there. I can't wait for the next number. But don't go for the storyline, and there's some good singing, good acting, but don't go for that either. The set pieces, both stationary and mobile, very creative. I really enjoyed them. They have big vehicles in and out, and doors opening, and it's really quite well done. And the aforementioned lighting is suitably psychedelic. Good thing, I won't say anything about being stoned when you see this, but it's probably a good way to see it. No, I'm sorry. Scratch that. It was just great. Don't go for that either. What you should go for are the production numbers. They're as good as you could wish them to be. Worth waiting for, even when the story was a little slow. Apparently, they tried to develop the storyline, but since it was so thin, it wasn't necessary. You could just go from song to song. However, when they did get to the songs, they were great. The Queen of Hearts looks suspiciously like Sarah Palin, and there is a pun about the Mad Tea Party. I presume that was not mistaken. We're going to take a break in just a second. Let's see how much of the rest of the review I can get through this. A large cast of dancers, neatly choreographed by Marguerite Derricks, were great. I can only imagine how hectic it was backstage with so many elaborate costumes and changes. The Queen of Hearts wears a black outfit with red bows on her shoes, then a bright red and yellow one with red shoes, then back again. I guess the bright outfit is just for beheading ceremonies. We'll come back with the end of this, and we have a producer from the show, Larry Payton, who will join us in just a minute. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening online, it is www.wvox.com, and we will be right back.
With business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour, here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
From the Fox Business Network, Wall Street opening up to the downside for a second straight day. Oil, metals, and other commodities continue sliding. Just past 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow's down 70 points. Meanwhile, fresh concerns over the labor market as first-time jobless claims remain high. 434,000 Americans joined the unemployment line in the latest week. That's more than economists expected. And last week's figure was revised higher than originally reported. The four-week moving average, which smooths out volatility, rose to its highest level since November. Soaring fuel prices pushing wholesale inflation higher in April. Producer prices rising 0.8% last month, coming in above estimates. If you exclude volatile food and energy prices, the so-called core CPI was up 0.3%. And retail sales increasing 0.5% in April for a 10th straight month of gains. Much of the gain coming from soaring gasoline prices. Economists are worried the higher fuel costs will leave motorists with less money to spend on other items. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Every day, businesses lose critical customer and financial data as a result of cybercrimes, human errors, and natural disasters. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Barracuda Backup Service combines local backup and deduplication for rapid restores, with data storage in the cloud for fail-safe disaster recovery. Protect your critical data. Visit Barracuda.com/backup to try Barracuda Backup Service free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/backup.
It would be a pleasure to amplify your voice on WVOX Worldwide.
It's the future right now.
Call David O'Shaughnessy, 914-636-1460.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. This is Environmentally Sound. My name is Bob Lubensold. I just want to just finish up one more little thing about this play. I did say the Queen of Hearts wears a black outfit with red bows on her shoes. I wondered when I saw it. I said, why is she wearing black? That's not the color of hearts. But then she comes back out with a really bright red and yellow one, a really nice one with red shoes. But then she came back again. I guess, as I said, I guess the bright outfit, that's like her Class A dress uniform in the military. Who knows? But such details are unimportant. What makes a good play, musical or otherwise, is if you leave the theater smiling, having had a good time. And I did. So you have until this Sunday to catch Wonderland before it leaves Broadway's Marquee Theater. Good seats are available, and it is a good time. If you like Broadway musicals, I do recommend it to you. My first guest, and possibly my only guest today, my second one hasn't shown up, so let's see what it is. My first guest is Larry Payton. He is a Broadway producer. He produced this show, actually, Wonderland. He's received an Emmy in 2001 for Peter Pan, starring Kathy Rigby. He received a Tony Award, that's Broadway, for Thoroughly Modern Millie, and his other Broadway productions. I'm sure you've heard of one or all of these: Dreamgirls, Footloose, Grease, High Society, Legally Blonde, Spamalot, Moving Out, The Color Purple, and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. Quite a resume. Resident of Tulsa, Oklahoma, speaking to us today from Manhattan. Welcome, Larry Payton.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Tell me, the producer's role in bringing a play to Broadway, especially a costly, big production musical, I have kind of a pretty good idea of what a producer does, but I'm sure some of our listeners don't, and I bet you I can learn something too. So why don't you tell us what you do?
Well, it's a great question, and you know, we wear, as a producer, we wear many hats, but I think the biggest part is the finding a project that you have a passion for, that you have a love for, and I've done this with Wonderland and many of the other shows that I've been in, and really helping to mesh all your collaborative teams. You know, right now there are many producers of Wonderland, and it takes that because these big musicals are so expensive, as you can well imagine.
Absolutely.
Saw the set and the costumes and everything else on the production aspect, and all of our lighting and music and what have you. You take the concepts, you work with your creative team, and we've got a phenomenal creative team, and you massage them to try to do the very best you can to get the message out of what you want to do. I equate, I'm a big sports fan, to being a general manager, if you will, of a baseball team or a football team or something like that, helping to put all of your teammates, your coaches, you know, your assistant coaches all together and make it a cohesive unit of trying to present the message you want to have brought out.
Okay, and that's the creative, but what about the mechanical part? What about acquiring theater, raising money, all that stuff, and casting, you know, the nitty-gritty of production?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's still the teamwork aspect. All of us have gotten a lot of friends and people that have the passion for Broadway and have the passion for doing live entertainment, which, as we know, can be a very challenging time because we have such diversified audiences anymore with all your digital media, et cetera, going around. You have to work very hard to number one, you got to believe in what you got.
Right.
That's paramount.
Well, because you have to sell it, right?
You have people that you have the same kind of passion and same kind of belief in what you're trying to do. And then three, you got to go out and get the others, if you will, that want to make money from the project, number one, but also want to see it done in a way that they feel is great and will, you know, they can put their name behind.
So how can we talk about the financials a little bit?
Sure.
How much do you actually have to raise before you can even consider bringing it to Broadway? And then how much have you spent before you've even booked a house?
You know, it varies by show, but you have to raise at least, from my perspective, 60 to 75% before you even really think about considering bringing a show to Broadway.
And what is the...
And what you'll have, from my way of doing, we had several pre-Broadway tryouts, or runs, if you will. We did it twice in Tampa, once in Houston. We did readings up here. We did a walkthrough up here several times in New York, just in a staged area. And, you know, then when we got to New York, we were still reworking the book, if you will. Not much of the music was changed, but we were reworking the book, the script, to make sure we could try to find where our audience is going to be and so that the New York audience would like it. Now, we didn't succeed there. I wish I could sit here this morning saying, you know, we're a home run. We are a home run to the people that have seen the show because I've stood outside the theater virtually every night that I've been here, greeting the people as they leave and saying thank you for coming. And to a person, we've had people saying one of several things. One is, what do the critics see that we didn't see? What, you know, we love this show. It more than exceeded our expectations. We were thoroughly entertained. Some of them have compared us to Wicked, which is a high compliment. And I'm not saying we're there, but I'm saying this is what the general public has said.
You mentioned critics.
Did I say that?
Well, what is the critic's role in the success or failure of a play? Is it crucial? Can you succeed in spite of poor critical reviews, or will you automatically succeed even if it's not such a great play, but the critics love it?
No, the critics are one element, and they do have a major impact in New York City. I have maintained, even after our reviews came out, that our real critics were the ones sitting in the seats each night, and I shared that with our cast and our company. But unfortunately, from our brief research so far, we are so far under the radar here that, you know, it's not a show that they liked, and for probably several reasons. But regardless of that, we still tried to present the show, and our cast, our entire company has worked very hard, and they will be working hard through Sunday. To give the audiences what we've been trying to give them every day.
So your
critics do have a major part, Bob.
They do. Well, you know, I always find something good to say about a play. I rarely have panned a play because there's always I understand the amount of work that goes into it, and I don't discount that. I mean, you never really fail. To bring a play, the actual play itself, and the casting, it never happens that the play is terrible and the casting is terrible and the costumes are terrible. There's always something good you can say. And, you know, either you recommend it or you don't. If you can stay on a little bit until after the break, Larry, can you do that?
I'll be glad to.
Okay, good. We're speaking with Larry Payton, Broadway producer of Wonderland, which unfortunately is going to close this Sunday. If you're listening in Beaver, Little Ponderosa, Sophia, Slapout, or Tulsa, Oklahoma, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you're listening live. Otherwise, you are listening at 1460 AM in New Rochelle and surrounds. I am Bob Levinsohn. We'll be back with Larry Payton in just a moment.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. He says tortured prisoners didn't lead the U.S. to Osama bin Laden. Senator John McCain, a former prisoner of war, says America should end enhanced interrogation.
Some of these practices, especially waterboarding, which is a mock execution, and thus to me, indisputably torture, are and should be prohibited in a nation that is exceptional in its defense and advocacy of human rights.
McCain on the Senate floor. A former auto worker from Ohio, 91-year-old John Demjanjuk, is out on appeal after getting a 5-year sentence for war crimes in Nazi Germany.
Demjanjuk was extradited to Germany in 2009 to face trial. Today, found guilty of over 28,000 counts of murder, one for each Jew that died at the death camp in Nazi-occupied Poland, where he worked as a guard.
Fox News Radio's Emily Wither. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Ron, that completes your orientation at Sagona Industries. Just one thing, though. Sneakers are not office attire.
Quite the contrary, Joan. The right footwear is essential to my job. I'll be running to the fax machine, leaping to the printer, racing to the scanner, cornering at high speed to beat my office mates to the copier.
Ron, we have a Canon Image Runner 400. You won't need to leave your desk. You'll use the network to manage copying, printing, faxing, scanning, and sophisticated document finishing at up to 40 pages per minute.
But I do very thick reports.
Right.
Won't I need adequate ankle support to work the really big industrial-sized stapler?
No.
Dashing to the bindery for saddle-stitched booklets?
Ron, our Canon Image Runner 400 makes all the saddle-stitched booklets you want.
Oh, then I have time to run for a cup of coffee.
Like the wind, Ron.
For more on the Canon Image Runner, call George and Bob Forsbauer's Vista Business Products at 914-347-7888 or visit us on the web at www.vistacanon.com.
In the north end of New Rochelle, you'll find an absolutely top-notch printer, one of the very best in the entire county. Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is known for its fine work far beyond the Sound Shore area. In fact, this particular Minuteman Press is easily the class of the fleet when it comes to full-service community printers. Located just off North Avenue in New Rochelle in the narrow Waikagil walkway across the parking lot from the A&P, Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is a terrific resource for individuals and small to medium-sized companies who want something very special when it comes to printing. No matter how big or how small your needs, you get great skill and creativity from Maestro Maselli's master printers, all for very reasonable prices. From business cards to brochures, color copies, high-speed printing, informational booklets, and flyers, it's Minuteman Press down that walkway when you're heading to the A&P, offering quality printing at very good prices. Call Frank Maselli at Minuteman Press of New Rochelle, 914-576-0335. 914-576-0335.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for today. We've got mostly sunny weather. Temperatures will range into the lower 70s. East winds at around 5 to 10. For tonight, it'll be partly cloudy. But overnight, low temperatures in the lower 50s. Friday's looking mostly sunny. Highs for the day near 70. There's the possibility of some rain moving in on Friday night. Nighttime lows in the lower 50s. Saturday also overcast with the possibility of some showers. Daytime highs mid-60s, also the chance of some rain on Sunday and Monday. Looks like we get into a wet pattern and temperatures in the 60s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri, WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
It's springtime. You know what that means.
Did you see what I saw?
Yep, postal carriers wearing shorts.
Close your eyes.
A reminder from VOX.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460, originating in New Rochelle, New York. If you are listening in Barcelona, Spain, or Barcelona, Puerto Rico, Brisas Damal, Flamboyant, Las Vegas, Puerto Rico, or Las Vegas, Nevada, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. We are speaking with Broadway producer Larry Payton, whose most recent show, Wonderland, will close on Sunday after a short run. Larry, I'd like to ask you about your feelings about this. I know they have to, you know, it's not all just, you win some, you lose some. When you put so much of yourself into a project like this and it does not really ring out, it does not resonate so much with the critics and even though it seems to with the public, how do you feel about it?
Well, it's very tough. Number one, you're right. Anytime you put your love and your passion into something, you're going to give it your all. And that's what our entire company has done from the get-go, 3+ years ago. From the creator, the writer of the music, Frank Wildhorn, all the way through to all of our performers, our directors. And it's tough. Tuesday, when I met you, Bob, the pre-curtain time was when we got all of our company together and
had to give them the sad news. And I guess, if anything, I feel the most for them, for all of our company, because they'll be out of a job come Sunday. And, you know, I ache for them because they put themselves into it. I mean, yes, we have lost a lot of money. I got to tell you, my faith is very important to me. It's what I try to do in my life. One of the main goals we had for doing this show was to present a show on Broadway that was for the entire family. It could be a date night. It could be just a husband and wife getting out. It could be for the husband and wife to bring their children and to have a great time with a message about what home is all about. And to, as the rabbit says, you know, time is fleeting and you want to make the most of every time, every day you have. We feel like that message is conveyed through the show. Now, it was not conveyed to the likes of the critics and, I guess, some of the New Yorkers, because they haven't come out, or else we've not done a good job marketing that. But this show has a wonderful message. It's, like I said, for the entire family. And not only do you enjoy it, but you can, if you really think through this process, you will love what you'll be challenged by. And I think love for what the message says. We need to slow down. We just live too fast-paced a life. We need to appreciate the little things that we have.
In fact, the quote I believe that you're looking for from, I believe it's the White Rabbit, who says, "We move so fast, we miss so much."
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you did say it's about 65% to 70% that you have to raise before you do it. But I think our listeners and I would also like to know how that translates into actual dollars. How much does it cost to put a play on like this? And how much is lost? I won't ask you how much you personally lost, because I know it's there are many investors usually. But how much money does it take to bring a Broadway show to the theater, including all the publicity and hiring all the actors and all of that, and the orchestra? And how much was lost in this case?
Well, we don't know exactly how much is lost for several reasons. We will not finalize everything up until it'll take us another 3 or 4 weeks to close down. You know, we'll have, you know, there's cost of moving the show out of the theater, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the day, we'll have lost quite a bit of money, but I like to look at it saying we've invested quite a little bit of money, and this is an original property that has no underlying rights. What I mean by that is that, you know, Lewis Carroll's works are public domain.
Right.
So this piece, which we feel like will have a life in Europe, in Japan, we've already signed or working on an agreement with to take it to Japan and Asia, and we're working on plans for London. We also feel like it'll have a really good national tour throughout the United States, or North America for that fact, and even down into Mexico and what have you, because we've had interest from people there as well. And then the licensing, with your licensing groups, we feel like probably every high school, if you know theater well enough, every high school, local theater group, colleges and universities, because it's a big ensemble piece, will be doing these shows. They're always looking for something that is for the whole family and has a lot of humor and has some principal roles that could be very, very special too as well. So so I guess my answer is it's probably we have invested a lot that right now we are on the downside of, in the negative, but we feel like there's a good chance that we'll be able to recoup that. And if we're able to work on it, to bring it back 5, 6, 7 years from now, maybe it'll come back to New York, maybe it won't. Maybe it'll just be out on the road touring and I think it can be a staple for audiences for a long time to come.
Well, I personally think that this play could be a successful Broadway musical. I did see some dry spots, but you see dry spots in every musical. I mean, there are the few plays smoke from beginning to end, like In the Heights is the one that comes to mind. That was truly great. And did you have something to do with Xanadu?
No, I did not.
No,
I did not.
Okay. But, all right, so you didn't want to give us a dollar amount, and I respect that. But just for our listeners' sake, this to bring a production to Broadway does cost in the millions. This is not a
cheap thing. And the reason I can't do that, Bob, to be honest, we're a privately held group too as well.
No, I don't
want to
push you.
I want to do that out of respect for our investors.
Absolutely. No, I don't want to push that. And I know that people who produce, while you do have, like any business, you have some successes and some failures. And let's talk about some of your successes. You were, in fact, a producer on Jekyll and Hyde. Is that true?
No, I was not with Jekyll and Hyde. I'm with Frank in a lot of things, and we worked together, but no, I was not with Jeff. I was with Peter Pan.
Yes.
I was with Color Purple. Uh-huh. You know, in fact, Peter Pan we're bringing back to Madison Square Garden at Christmas time this year.
Excellent.
Kathy's going to be doing it. And
Grease?
We will be starring it again.
Grease? Were you a producer in Grease?
I was an investor in Grease. I was a minor person in that show, but yes.
Okay. In fact, way back I auditioned for that role, and I got two callbacks for the part of Eugene.
Uh-huh.
Two callbacks. Uh-huh. One, I performed right on the Broadway stage. I did my audition on the Broadway stage, and that was many, many years ago in the 60s, I guess. Also, Dreamgirls.
Yes, favorite show. You know, Henry Krieger, who wrote the music, is a dear friend of mine. I just love that show a lot. It's got a great, great show message.
So what was your best success in Broadway?
You know, right now, you can probably see my M.O. from... Loving Wonderland and also loving Kathy Rigby with Peter Pan. That's probably my biggest success. Now, all the shows that, you know, I loved Color Purple because of the message that had. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you a lot more about my, which I don't want to, my failures or whatever, but, you know.
No, I'd much rather hear about your successes.
The other thing that is so challenging this year is that, and it's good for Broadway, is that we have so many brand new shows that have opened up from March on to this year that have been phenomenal. And, you know, that's just a great thing. I mean, it's good for Broadway. It's good for the audiences. Now, that's also helped to dilute the potential because of the new shows opening up and people having to choose, because you don't go like I do to 30 or 40 or 50 shows a year.
No.
You're doing maybe one or two or three at the most, a lot of people, so they've got to be choosy. And we've got, I think it's total like 16 or 18 new shows opened on Broadway this spring.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Plays and musicals, that's a lot.
That is a lot. And some of them get very good notices, and so people flock to those. I think right now the Book of Mormon or the House of Mormon, whatever. I think the Book of Mormon, a lot of people, there's a lot of buzz about that.
Absolutely.
And so I guess people throw their money at those kinds of things. And how about the economy? Does the economy affect you? Is Broadway down? I get these statistics, but I don't recall. Do you think that's a factor?
Well, you know, Broadway is not down. They're still spending money. And like I said, though, there are newer shows, which in the past when you've had the longer-running shows like, you know, you've got your Lion King still going, and you had your Hairspray going for a long time, you got your Mamma Mia. When there wasn't a lot of new product, your theaters weren't being turned over as much, so you could get a chance to see them over a couple, two, 3 years. Like I said, now with all these new shows, you have to spread it out, and people have to make choices.
Okay,
we didn't expect it when we were coming in here that we would have this many shows we'd be competing against.
True, yeah.
You know, and that's just the way it goes.
Okay, Larry, you're going to stay with me some more. My other guest didn't show up, so we have an abundance of time, and you're a fascinating guy. Would you like to stay, or have I burned you out?
I'd be glad to, whatever you'd like.
My pleasure, Larry. Please do. We'll bring you back after the break. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Levinsohn. My guest today is Larry Payton, Broadway producer. If you are listening in our listening area, of course, you have tuned in to AM 1460. If you are not in our listening area, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and I understand we now have a webcam so that if you are listening live on the web, you can see me as well, which is, I guess I'll have to comb my hair a little bit better in the future. And so we'll be back with Larry Payton in just a moment.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The death of Osama bin Laden reigniting the debate on torture. Some saying it helped lead to the terror leader, but Senator John McCain speaking out against the use of so-called enhanced interrogation techniques.
This is not about the terrorists. It's about us.
McCain, a former prisoner of war himself, speaking on the Senate floor. A struggle in the Mississippi Delta days before the expected crest of the river. Many casinos closed along the riverfront.
Workers are told to stay home, many of them trying to build last-minute private levees to keep water from washing into the building.
Farmers all along the Mississippi Delta have dirt levees already, but dirt could erode, so they've been covering them with plastic.
Fox Radio's Evan Brown in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And astronauts return to Florida for another try at launching Space Shuttle Endeavour. Due to blast off Monday morning, the mission led by the husband of wounded Congressman Gabrielle Giffords. Fox News, we report, you decide.
This is an unsolicited testimonial, call it a commercial if you will, about a brilliant, dedicated young Mexican fellow. His name is Jesus Valencia, but he's one of the brightest, smartest, and hardest working tradesmen we've encountered. And especially what he does better than anyone we've found is roofing. He's like a Nureyev up there on the roof. He goes right to the problem and he fixes it permanently for a lot less than the big-time roofing companies charge you. Jesus Valencia is his name. He's the best we've found in years at doing this. His number in Westchester for all kinds of roofing matters is 914-576-5596. I tell you, only the guy is really good. So I represent young Mr. Valencia to you only as a roofer who's bright and will work hard to fix up your roof. 576-5596.
Physical activity is body movement that uses energy. From house to lawn work, walking to dancing, biking or swimming, remember, some is better than none. SoundShore Medical Center encourages you to talk with your healthcare provider about the type and amount of physical activity that's right for you and your condition. Most individuals, regardless of size or ability, can benefit from physical activity. For a copy of SoundShore's brochure on physical activity, please call 914-365-3597.
We have ways of making you talk.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
WVOX Worldwide.
WVOX.
We are back. This is Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lovensold. This is WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. And on the phone with us from Manhattan is Larry Payton, Broadway producer of this production, which I thought was rather good, Wonderland. I enjoyed myself, and certainly if you are looking for a theater experience, I'm sure there are seats available between now and Sunday. If you haven't seen it, I recommend that you go see it. You will love some of these production numbers. Some of the dancing is great. The choreography is smoking. Larry, I'd like to ask you a question, though. Tell me about the costume change of the Queen. The Queen is wearing a black outfit, which does not suit the Queen of Hearts. And then she comes out in a great outfit for the Queen of Hearts, and then she goes back to where the only red showing is a bow on her shoes. What was that all about?
Well, you know, in Lewis Carroll's book of Alice, she was the dark character. She was the mean and evil person, not really as much the Mad Hatter. And as you also know, Bob, our Mad Hatter is not a guy. It's a female.
Oh, yes. So, a Miss America, actually.
Yes, she is. Kate Schindel is just a wonderful person, a great actress, a great singer. And
Miss America and Miss Illinois in 1998.
That's correct.
Yep.
She's just a neat, neat person. Our whole company is great. But anyway, she's more of the dark side, if you will, in our show. And the Queen of Hearts still has her moments that way in the beginning when she comes out like that, how we show her ego being what it is and also her intelligence being not quite all there, or, you know, as some of us say, you know, she could be a few French fries short of a Happy Meal because she's cutting everybody's head off from time to time. But then she comes back out in the second act, and with what I consider to be a show-stopping number, and Frank writes such great music. And, you know, originally he had written The Queen of Hearts for a black singer like an Aretha Franklin to sing that role.
Okay.
And so he reworked it for Karen Stile, and I would imagine many of your listeners might have seen her. She's been in Mamma Mia. She took over for Glenn Close in Sunset Boulevard. She's been on Broadway a lot, and she's also done many cabaret evenings that are just wonderful and joyous.
Now,
but anyway,
yeah.
She comes back out, and, you know, she shows a little bit different side of herself, that she's more compassionate and caring at the end. I don't want to give the whole show away, but, you know, that's how the book went for us. That's how the creative writers and the director saw it going for us.
Right. I love the in her splendor in the red and yellow outfit. That was really cool. Now, speaking of shows that were not successful, there was a play, which I guess you saw because you see everything, right? Called The Pirate Queen some years ago. There was a talk back after that show, as there was with this one, and they said that the costumes for that, just the costumes, were about $2 million. And that show closed after a very short run, too. So that kind of gives perspective
We put a lot into our costumes.
No doubt.
Because, number one, we had one of the greatest costume designers, I think, on Broadway, and that's Susan Hilferty. She did the Wicked costumes. And she's wonderful, and a great person.
She did a great job.
She did it for our show, and she's done it, she did it for Wicked. And, you know, we're at a point where that Queen of Hearts number with the Mad Hatter, as you know, is, number one, that costume, I can't tell you exactly, it's really expensive. but it's worth it, because people kind of get that look and say, oh my God.
Oh, yeah. When she came out with that outfit on, it was spectacular. Tell me something. The queen resembled Sarah Palin with those glasses, and you made the remark about the Tea Party. Was that intentional?
You know, you're the first person that has said that. No, not really. I don't think so. And I don't have 100% proof of that. I'd have to go back and ask our creative team that question. And it was never mentioned that I heard. However, in one of the very beginning runs of this show, as we're doing run-throughs and stuff, we had everyone in glasses. So they were looking through the looking glasses in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, the way this show has morphosized, if you will, as the caterpillar says, thought he was going to morphosize and turn into a butterfly and get out of there.
Yep.
But, you know, the way it has changed has been, people don't realize the number of scripts. I think we've had maybe as many as 500, 600, 700 scripts written.
700?
For the show, until we locked it down.
700, did you say?
Yes, sir.
Whoa.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? One day in rehearsals, the writer of the book gave the cast 70 pages of changes.
Well, that's terrible. If I'm acting, I want to know what my lines are so I can memorize them. I don't want to get out there on a stage, much less a Broadway stage, and say, "Well, which version am I speaking today?"
We were still in rehearsal, so that's okay. And I got to tell you, it was a rough rehearsal.
Oh my goodness!
We were still shaking it down, and that's why I say this is such a great group of people. They worked through everything and tirelessly for them to make it go. And they're giving 110%. I've seen three shows earlier this week.
Yeah.
Even after closing, you saw the show that could have been the roughest in the world when
they were just informed. Yes.
7 o'clock curtain.
My goodness, and they were spectacular. So who made all those changes? Was it Greg Boyd or Jack Murphy? They wrote the book.
More Jack. Jack than the Greg, yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, my engineer, Debbie, who is a theater patron, heard you say that you're thinking about bringing back Peter Pan.
That's correct.
Now, is that the
Madison Square Garden.
Is that going to have
a three-week run?
Is that going to have Kathy Rigby in it? Kathy will be in it. So, Debbie, now you know where your next theater money is going.
There you go. She is a wonderful lady, besides being a great actress and performer. A great, great person, and you know, she owns that role, and you know, we've had the pleasure of being in New York with her several different times before, and on the road, and people just love that show. And like I said, we'll be down at Madison Square Garden in December. Great, great holiday time to see that great show.
Well, I'm going to have to see that myself. I don't see everything like you do, of course. Particular theater, the Marquee Theater. It seems pretty large to me, and the acoustics seem pretty good to me. Can you compare it to other theaters?
It's a very nice theater. It's a great, great theater for watching. One of the things that a lot of our audiences talk about is that we have such wonderful legroom. And, you know,
unlike so many theaters.
Don't have that, but they have their own personalities.
Unlike so many theaters, including the Metropolitan Opera, unfortunately.
Right, right. But it's, you know, it's a wonderful facility, and the people there have been just great to work with, and we're kind of sad that Sunday's going to come, but it'll be here. But I hope your audiences, if you got families out there and want to do something special this weekend, they'll come and catch this show because they'll have a great time, I believe.
I certainly recommend it. I do think, and I don't know every musical that's out there. I don't think you can get tickets to the hottest shows on this short notice. But this, while it's not the hottest show in the ratings, it's certainly a good time, and it's certainly well worth seeing. What are you up to now, Larry?
What am I going into now?
Yeah, do you have a project going, or are you just going to
The project is called Wonderland.
Okay. So.
And no, what I mean by that is that, yes, we're working very, very sincerely and hard on the rights and on a tour that will go out the season of 12-13, and either the fall of 12 or January or wintertime of 2013 to tour. So, we planned to work on this show here in New York for a long time, and so we're just refocusing our things. I've got a couple other projects, but nothing that I've really got the overriding passion of. I'm potentially working on a production based on the book The Shack.
The Shack?
I don't know if you're familiar with the book The Shack.
I'm not.
Written by an author by the name of William Paul Young. But that's still way, way, way. I mean, it takes 3 to 4 years lots of times to put a project completely together, especially to come to New York City and Broadway.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you haven't given up on it, because I don't think this place should be given up on. I think it has a lot of elements that are really good. I hope when you go on the road, you take Jose Liana with you. He played El Gato and
listen, Jose is
he
so
is something,
wonderful.
Huh? He is
so
something.
Wonderful. I always say, oh, can you see me now, Jose? And so that would be a tease for your audience, huh?
Well, yeah, you mean you don't want me to tell them why you would say that to him?
Go ahead. You're sure.
Okay, the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland, you could only see the grin. You couldn't see the cat, and it would fade away. In this one, El Gato, played by Jose Liana, brilliantly, I might add, he still thinks he is invisible, but he really isn't. But people just don't have the heart to tell him because he's such a nice fellow. So he tries to sneak up on somebody, and they have to say, you know what, you're not really invisible. But he takes it all in good nature. He says, oh, really? Okay, well, I'll dance some more and sing some more anyway. Really good. Okay, well.
There's a mean Santana guitar ride, doesn't he?
When he's playing his tail, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I imagine that's one of the pit orchestra guys, right? That's not real.
Yeah,
he's not really playing his tail, is he?
No, he's not. But I'm saying he does a mean ride on that guitar ride.
Yes, he does. Larry Payton, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to keep you longer when my other guests failed to show. But I think your story was actually interesting and more interesting. So I'm happy to have had you. Thanks again. Great success in the future. And if I come across any projects that I think will excite your passion, I'll be in touch.
Well, I appreciate the time. Great to meet you Tuesday night. And thank you for allowing me to share my heart about Wonderland.
My pleasure. Larry Payton, Broadway producer. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
I'd like to thank Broadway producer Larry Payton for being with us today, and especially for allowing us to take more of his time than we had scheduled to do when our other guest failed to show. Broadway plays are, as you now infer, very expensive to put on, and you never know what you're going to get. You never know if the critics, the reviewers, whoever will like you or not. I liked it, and others don't like it. So what can I say? Our thought for the week, we move so fast, we miss so much. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the USA. Next up, I don't know if Howard Sterman is here. I just don't know. I never know. He shows up sometimes at the very last minute. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.